Let us not be content with what we've seen. There's way too many people out there who are dead right now, who do not know Jesus Christ. Millions and millions of people living in darkness with no hope. We cannot be content. He must do more. God must do more. And it is so right here to pray, God, show us your work and your power among us and across this land and across this world.
Hi, it's time for Live in the Light. Welcome back to our program if you have been here before. And hey, we want to say hi to our new friends too. Live in the Light exists to see radical transformation in God's people through the revelation of God's truth. And the truth we are getting into today is the truth of prayer. Today's message is called A Prayer for Favor. We aren't looking again at how to pray or why to pray. We know those things. Instead, we are taking a deep dive into the great prayers of the Bible. Today's prayer, we believe, was written by Moses during a particularly challenging part of his ministry. He is denied access to the promised land because of his disobedience. And Robbie, you're telling us that this is a psalm of perspective.
A psalm of perspective, and then a prayer again for favor as it concludes. Again, to see this psalm, Psalm 90, one of the richest psalms and really, really strong content for how we pray, seeking, Lord, give me a heart of wisdom. Satisfy us in the morning with your love. Oh, so good and so needed. Live in Light listeners, again, we pray in Jesus' name. You are specifically encouraged today by the Holy Spirit as the Word of God meets you, renews your mind, as the Holy Spirit speaks to you, as you're encouraged to pursue Jesus Christ and believe that God has more and more and more for your life at this time, not in ease, but in purpose, in meaning, in fulfillment, and yes, in satisfaction in God alone. We pray you're encouraged by this series. You continue to be. May the Lord work powerfully during this time.
All right. How amazing that we get to go into this incredible example of prayer together. So now it's the time. Grab your Bible and open it to Psalm chapter 90, and let's go through the words of Moses together. Pastor Robbie, here we go.
Hey, if you have a Bible, please open to Psalm 90, Psalm 90. We'll be spending just a couple of moments today going through, again, a portion of this psalm, and we continue to be in our series this day, Great Prayers of the Bible. Week number one, we tackled Exodus 33, covering Moses' prayer for God's presence. Week number two, last week, we saw from Psalm 51 and from David, and today we see in Psalm 90, our title is A Prayer for God's Favor. A prayer for God's favor, which is so desperately needed. I want to remind you, too, this series is designed to see prayers that are so close to the heart of God. We are going through prayers that are unequivocally 100% in line with God's will. So we're trying to be men and women and children of wisdom. And what we're learning again, if you pray according again to the passages in this series, you are praying again 100% what God wants to bless and the person that he will work within. So much so that actually this week what I did is I took the last three outlines, including today's message, I wrote them in the front of my Bible because I'm so utterly convinced. Start with this type of prayer, start seeking the Lord in this way, and God will move. Again, it boils it down to what's most important. Maybe you want to do the same thing as well as we go through this series. As we turn to Psalm 90, we believe again this psalm is written by Moses, indicated by the heading as the psalm starts. We believe the context is after Moses' sister Miriam has died. Also after Moses sinfully struck the rock as he was impatient before the Lord and he was prevented from entering the promised land. We also believe the context is after Aaron's death, who of course was Moses' brother. So you think this would make this a very sobering psalm, which it is, but it's not a psalm of lament. Rather, it's a psalm of expectation. It's a psalm of perspective. Listen, loved ones, it's a psalm of wisdom. And it's the psalm of wisdom that Moses uses as a psalm of supplication, which is another word, of course, of prayer. So take a look at Psalm 90. We're going to tackle the second half of this passage together today. Let's pick it up in verse 12. Moses prays this: God, teach us to number our days that we might get a heart of wisdom. Love that so much. Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we might rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days you have afflicted us, and for as many years we have seen evil. Now listen to what he says in verse 16. Let your work be shown again to your servants, and your glorious power to their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Again, what an amazing text this is. We're going to jump right in. Here's our prayer outline for today. Please, O Lord, we pray this, give us a heart of wisdom. Give us a heart of wisdom. Look at verse 12 again. Teach us to number our days so that we might get a heart of wisdom. What an essential prayer that this is. And again, church, how this prayer must go to the top of our list. Moses here is filled with perspective in life. And as we know, and as he's seen, Moses has encountered so much life. He's been through so much. He's seen so much. When Moses writes this, he has witnessed so many people who have wasted their life. He has seen so many people who have wandered off to the idols of the world. He has seen so many people who have wantonly pursued selfishness to their own destruction. So Moses knows now, he's a man of God, he knows the value of wisdom, and he longs to be a man, and he longs to be part of a people, again, that are filled with wisdom. Please make sure you understand this too, brother. It's so good to see so many of you right now. I'm so encouraged by that. That's awesome. Listen, you and I must know wisdom is priceless. To be a man or woman of wisdom is absolutely priceless. The wisdom of God changes our lives. The wisdom of God saves us from so much suffering and heartache and unnecessary, again, suffering again in life. Wisdom is so, so valuable. So the question I have now, give us a heart of wisdom. How do we do that? How do you and I, again, get a heart of wisdom? Well, the answer is in verse 12. Again, look at verse 12. Teach us to number our days that we might get a heart of wisdom. So the key to having a heart of wisdom is being a man or woman or child that is numbering our days before the Lord. Now, what does that mean, though? What does it mean to number our days? I think it means three main things as we go through life. If I am going to number my days, number one, I must know the brevity of life. If you look at verses 5 and 6, it's here Moses speaks about human beings. He says, you sweep them away as with a flood, God. They are like a dream, like grass in the morning. It is renewed and then it flourishes, and the evening it fades and withers. Then he says in verse 10, he says, the years of this life are 70, or by reason of strength, 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble, and soon they are gone and fly away. Again, so true and so important. Such a biblical piece of wisdom is this, is what? Church, we must know our mortality. We must understand life is short. We are a mist. We are but a vapor. But according to this reality, again, we number our days by understanding the brevity of life. And maybe you're like me. I've said this in recent weeks too. I have never been more cognizant of people passing away. Like, not trying to be morbid, but I am trying to be morbid. I'm just paying attention to when lives are here one day, but then they're gone the next. So this week's most famous example was Willie Mays. Willie Mays passed away over the age of 90, one of the greatest baseball players who ever lived, and yet so short in light of eternity. And here's the thing, baseball will only take you so far. You could be the best baseball player in the history of the world, but your batting average doesn't matter to Jesus. The only thing that matters is your faith in Christ for the forgiveness of sins. But we know the brevity of life. That's teaching us to number our days. We also know this. If you're going to number your days, must know the priority in life. Because our days are so short, right? We know that. We understand that. Therefore, we can't waste time in the things of this world. We can't waste time with the treasures of this world. And how the Bible reminds us over and over again, including today, yet again, set your minds on things above. Seek first the kingdom of God. Case in point to this, again, there's so many passages we could also reference. Jesus teaching the parable of the bigger barns. You guys know it. The parable of the bigger barns. This man, he goes, he has been successful. He has so much stuff. He has so much stuff. He has no room for it. So he goes and builds bigger barns to house all his extra stuff. He stores the stuff in his bigger barns. And then that night, his soul is required of him. And God, literally, Jesus teaches, God at night calls him a fool. You fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things which you've prepared, whose will they now be? God is teaching us over and over and over again. What are the priorities in life? And they cannot be this world. Here's an important principle for today, which is this. If we want to be men, women, and children of wisdom, here's the principle. What we prize determines what we prioritize. You need to hear that again. What we prize determines what we prioritize. We prize the world, we will prioritize the world. We prize ourselves, we will prioritize ourselves. We prize the things of the flesh, we will prioritize the things of the flesh. We prize Jesus Christ and his kingdom, and we will prioritize the things of this kingdom. Again, the wise understand the utter vanity of the world, and then we seek to live for the world to come. And by the way, too, man, you know you're growing in wisdom when you're seeing over and over and over again how much the Bible speaks on this truth. Like all the time, I'm amazed by it, how much God is seeking to remind his children of the reality of what actually matters and what is actually valuable again in this life. So what does it mean to number our days? We seek wisdom, know the brevity of life, know the priority in life, and thirdly, know the urgency of life. To number our days is to know again, we do not live forever. This just in, but we're all subject to death. We are but dust, here one day, gone the next. Those who are filled with wisdom seek to make each day count. We wake up in the morning, we desire to bear fruit for the Lord Jesus Christ and not waste our time. I mean, obviously, again, for me and for my wife and our family this week with our daughter Bliss in the hospital, we are there in that situation and we are confronted with the urgency, the reality, and the brevity of life. And you're thinking again of these things over and over again, reminded what really matters, what really matters, what really matters. And you realize only Jesus Christ really matters. This is how God desires us to grow in wisdom. So what a prayer, eh? What a prayer. God, give us a heart of wisdom. We need to be men, women, and children increasingly living with wisdom as opposed to being foolish again in this life. Moses' prayer continues here. The second point is this. So God, satisfy us in your love. Satisfy us in your love. What a great prayer that is too. Verse 13, take a look. Return, O Lord, how long have pity on your servants. God, we need you to return to us. We need you again to show us favor. Verse 14, satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love that we might rejoice and be glad all our days. Now, commentators speculate, satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love. Moses in the wilderness with the people, this might be referring to God's daily provision of manna in the desert. And even, again, if it is, that's so great, but we know that the ultimate satisfaction and the provision of God in this life is the bread of life, who is Jesus Christ. The manna in the desert points to the Son of God, Jesus Christ, where Jesus himself said, I am the bread of life. He is the one who satisfies all true hunger for eternal life and forgiveness in him. So what a beautiful prayer this is. Oh Lord, satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love. And those who have truly tasted and seen that the Lord is good, you know it. You know it already. You know that only the Lord Jesus Christ ultimately satisfies. What I love about the history of this church too, so many stories of people who have wandered into this church, and even through baptism today, they've wandered into this church in one way or another, and they're overcome with emotion.
Hey, listeners. We'll get back to Robbie's message in just a moment, but we wanted to pause for a second to ask, did you know that you can catch up with past messages from Live in the Light on our website? Previously aired series are archived there and available to listen to at any time. You can also tune in anytime wherever you get your podcasts. So on that, happy listening. Now, let's get back to today's message.
Walk in here and there's something different because they've tried the world and it doesn't work. They tasted the world and it's empty and disgusting. And they come in here and they sense the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and they start to realize that true purpose is only found in Him. And again, more often than not, they see salvation in Jesus Christ. They are never the same again. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, O Lord. There is nothing more satisfying than the very presence of God. Can I get an amen this morning, church? So true, so true. And again, hey, just personal, again, I want to update you guys as I'm in this message as well. So this past week, I said, my wife Jill and I were in the hospital with our daughter Bliss, who had cancer surgery this past week. We were there on Tuesday morning. We were there super, super early. And then it was that moment where Bliss had to go in for her surgery. And essentially you are handing your daughter over to what are basically strangers. You meet the surgeon for like, you know, 1 minute before it happens. You hand your daughter over to these strangers and they're going to take her and they're going to cut her throat open and then do surgery on her. That's a moment of insecurity. I mean, that's the moment as a dad. You're just like, whoa, like what's happening here? And you feel powerless and you feel out of control. And there's nothing that you can do in that moment as well. But then listen, then the people of God pray. And I take the moment too just to help explain to you the overwhelming power and care and the very presence of the Lord. I remember as Bliss was in her surgery, it was supposed to last 3 hours, and Jill and I were just down there and trying to grab a little bite to eat, and all of a sudden tears were flowing from our faces and tears were landing in this toast that I was eating, and wow, it tasted good because the Lord's presence was so, so near to us because God's people pray in this way, and so humbling and overwhelming too. And I just need to say this as well too. Like you're in this moment and God's presence and His satisfaction. And I pray you know, Tuesday morning is a day that my wife Jill and I will not soon forget. Overwhelmed by the care and the prayer and the love and the comfort that only God can provide. You know what's so amazing? The surgery went so well, to update you. Bliss being discharged was way, way sooner than they ever expected. Her recovery's gone so well this week and she's even here right now today at the service. We're so thankful for that. Amen. Amen. But I say all that to say there's nothing more satisfying than Jesus Christ. There is nothing more satisfying than the very presence of God. He is the answer. He's the only one. And maybe you're here right now and you've been searching your entire life for purpose and meaning and fulfillment. And you, like me, for 22 years could not find it. And then here you are, not by accident, God speaking to you. You are looking for the answers in life. His name is Jesus Christ. But you must see your sin to be forgiven again by Jesus alone. He died on the cross and shed His blood that we might be washed, that we might be saved. Become children of God, to enter into His presence, to know His love, comfort, and forgiveness. Again, never to die again. This is why the Lord said, and David said, in the presence of God is fullness of joy. Life in Jesus Christ is not easier. We always say that. It is not easier. It is infinitely better. He is the best and He is satisfaction. And when we are fully aware of His love, we are so utterly satisfied. If you look at verse 14 too, it says, satisfy in the morning with your steadfast love. That word morning there is not there by accident. The power of the morning before the Lord. The glory of seeking first the Lord in the morning. Moses, a man of God, sought God in the morning. His first thoughts towards God in the morning. Jesus Christ Himself, the Son of God, fully man, constantly rose up early while still dark to seek His Father. Church, please listen, understand how we start our day sets the tone for our day. If we desire again to be men and women and children of prayer, then we must seek first the Lord again as we rise each day. You might say to me right now, some of my own kids might say to me right now, but I'm not a morning person. Okay, I appreciate that, but I gently push back on you. I gently push back on you. Some form, somehow, some way, we must begin our day with Jesus. Listen, life is too short not to start each day without thinking and praying and seeking Jesus. Listen, our morning sets the menu for the day. Oh, to be satisfied with his love in the morning. Again, I'm not saying you have to wake up at 5 a.m. every day. I'm not saying that. But somehow the priority of the day, Lord, we need you. And I challenge you on this too. A man or woman growing in wisdom and God's presence filling your life. Maybe this is a great prayer. God, would you help me to seek you first? Whatever that looks like in my life, would you help me, God, to have a desire and a hunger to long to be satisfied in the morning with your steadfast love? I mean, if that happens, look out, your life will begin to change. Such a beautiful prayer. Satisfy us in your steadfast love. Thirdly, here's our prayer. Show us your work and power. Look at verse 15. It says, make us glad for as many days you have afflicted us, and for many years we have seen evil. Look at this. Let your work be shown to your servants and your glorious power to their children. What is Moses saying here? It was the sin of the people that brought on the discipline of God upon them. It was their constant rebellion that led them into affliction because of their sin. So what Moses does now, he gets out in front of the people and he leads them to return to the Lord in prayer. And he says here, he says, God, show us your work. We need to see your work among us. God, show us your glorious power to the next generation. You know, here we are at Hope Oakville 20 years in, and Hope Oakville has such a strong passion to see God's power and work among us. We've cried out from the very beginning, Lord, change lives for your glory. Why is that one of our most constant prayers? Because the work and power of God is awesome. And we rejoice in our 20th year that even since last September, so just what, 9 months ago, we have seen 109 people baptized again in this church. That is so awesome. And that's so great. Amen. We're so thankful for the Lord for that. And the hundreds and hundreds over the course of 20 years, there's growth and transformation all around us. So that means, yes, the battle is real, but the blessing is abundant. We long to see God's power and work among us. I remember again as a young man and saved, and God was calling me into ministry, and I tried to fight. I did not want to be a pastor. I did not want to go into ministry, but as I say, God tends to win. He always wins. So here we are all these years later. But one of the things I said before the Lord, God, if we're going to do this ministry thing, let's see lives change for your glory. Let's see lives transformed in the name of Jesus Christ for the glory of Jesus Christ. He has been so utterly kind all these years, and he's continuing to do it today. Don't stop, Lord. Don't stop. And I'm so encouraged, eh? This is so good. Moses is like, God, we got to see you work. God, we got to see your power. And notice in verse 16, notice Moses says, show your power to your children, the next generation. So again, hey, a lot of this has come up in recent weeks. Next generation, young people, we are praying that this would not stop with us, but you would long to see the power of God in your lives. And then your children one day, God, show us more of your power. Church, I exhort us. Let us not become complacent. Let us not be content with what we've seen. There's way too many people out there who are dead right now, who do not know Jesus Christ. Millions and millions of people living in darkness with no hope. We cannot be content. He must do more. God must do more. And it is so right here to pray, God, show us your work and your power among us and across this land and across this world. What a great prayer. And the last part of this prayer, fourthly, we see here today, Lord, we pray for your favor to be upon us. We pray for your favor to be upon us. Look at verse 17 now. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Let the favor of the Lord God be upon us. What does that mean? What does it mean for the favor of God to be upon us? Matthew Poole described God's favor as this. Listen carefully. God's favorable countenance, his gracious influence, and his glorious presence. To know the favor of God is to have his favorable countenance upon us, his gracious influence, and his glorious presence fill our lives. What a prayer this is for us. Oh God, would you look upon us with favor? Would you influence us with your grace? God, would you make us aware of your glorious presence? Because without you, we do not stand a chance. What blessed me this week too is that the word favor can also be translated beauty. Let the beauty of the Lord be upon us. Isn't it so encouraging? A man who walks in the fear of the Lord and the light of God shines through his life. The Bible says that he becomes radiant, Psalm 34. The woman of God who loves the Lord Jesus Christ with all her heart, the Lord says that her beauty will be imperishable, an imperishable beauty so distinct from the world around her. When a church honors the Lord in his ways and exalts his name, the promise is that he graces that church with his glorious presence. And then people are supernaturally attracted to his beauty, seen in his church. Oh, let us pray for his favor, church. Let us pray. We must continue to pray. Hey, here's a good goal. Like, our ministry year kind of wraps up again this week and next, and we're looking ahead again to the coming ministry year. I think for all of us, hey, a greater goal, I'm going to try to make each prayer meeting that I can, our church-wide prayer meetings, I'm going to make a goal to be resolved to pray with brothers and sisters to seek the Lord, because if we do not seek the Lord as a church, again, we will not see his work among us. God, help us with that. And then Moses ends his powerful prayer with this. God, establish the work of our hands. Yes, Lord, establish the work of our hands. Why? Because if God doesn't establish it, it's not happening. Nothing's happened. You know, throughout my years, I've seen pastors, elders, and leaders. I've seen people achieve or seek to achieve the work of God in their own strength. I've seen grand vision. I've seen the attempts of the will of man in the church. And I've even seen results from human effort. However, what happens when it's the will of man and God's not in it, there's a temporal result that's seen, but it is not lasting. And in the end, it is not fruitful. We do not want the will of man. We do not want our own striving and effort. We desperately want the work of God to be established. Because when the work of God is established, it's a lasting work, an eternal work. It's a work that cannot be stopped. It's a work that will not be diminished. So we pray with Moses, God, you establish the work of our hands. And listen, loved ones, when God establishes it, culture's not stopping it. Government's not stopping it. Darkness is not stopping it. Hell itself is not stopping it, because Jesus Christ is building his church and the gates of hell again will not prevail against it. There's nothing you can do to stop the work of God when he establishes his people, when he establishes his man, his woman, again, the marriage, the family, the child, the church, the leaders. He establishes his work. It will carry on. And remember, when Moses prayed this 3,500 years ago, we have 3,500 years of history, lots of ups and downs, but 3,500 years of history to prove that God is establishing his work upon those who seek him and love him and desire to see his favor upon them. How powerful it is. Loved ones, what is the point of our work if the Lord is not in it? So we pray again. I mean, we are being teed up with such powerful prayer. God, establish the work in my life. Establish the work again in my day right now. Establish your work in my home.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. We are so glad you're here. And without you, Live in the Light wouldn't exist. Our passion and mission here is to see radical transformation in God's people through the revelation of God's truth. We believe that through the faithful and passionate preaching of God's word, disciples will be made and the church will be strengthened. Do you want to be a part of that mission? If so, check out our website at liveinthelight.ca for ways to give, or give us a call at 1-844-22-LIGHT. Each day, this ministry strives to see the kingdom of God advance, and this can only be done through the generosity of our power partners. To learn how to become a power partner, or simply to learn more about Live in the Light, visit liveinthelight.ca. That's all for today. Hope you can join us again next time on Live in the Light.